And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's happening, everybody? Pete and Nick back with you. Week 9 waiver wire pickups, NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by our good friends over at Skip. What's going on, Nick?
Not too much. Of course, Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Week 9 of the fantasy season. We're into the month of December. We're into another Monday, and we bring in Waiver Wire James. Waiver Wire James, I love calling you by. He does have a last name, by the way. But James, how's it going, buddy?
I'd be better if the Jets had won yesterday, but I am very happy to understand that we have a special anniversary on the episode today. Isn't that right?
Okay, this is funny because I brought this up off air, but yeah, it is my 1 year anniversary. There's so much modesty in my game, as you know that. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate working with all three of you guys. I know producer Bob Benner's on the call as well. Let's get into the waiver wire this week. Let's start with, since I've been popping them up so much, how about Matty Beniers in the Seattle Kraken?
We have been saying that don't fade the Kraken all season. And we have been telling people that there's going to be a lot of underlying value with this team since the offseason with all the moves that they made, bringing in Oliver Bjorkstrand, signing Andre Burakovsky. We thought that Shane Wright might have some kind of a profile with this team, but you know they sent him down to the minors right now to get some seasoning, which he definitely needed. On the back end, you know, Vince Dunn, Justin Schultz, Martin Jones has had kind of a bounce back, but yeah, it's all being led right now by Matty Beniers. We said going into the season, he was going to be a front runner for the Calder. He's right up there in that discussion right now, 21 points on the season, 5 power play points. He's running their top line and their top power play unit. So absolutely, if you're not jumping on the Seattle Kraken, getting exposure to one of those guys, you know, Matty Beniers, 44% rostered at the moment is just pitifully low for the kind of season that he's having so far, especially in comparison to a lot of other rookies in the league.
And Beniers is playing on the line with Jared McCann, who quietly leads the Kraken with 11 goals this season, and Jordan Eberle, a guy we've pumped the tires on this show multiple times so far this season. But the cool thing about Seattle is that you, even if you're in a super competitive deep league, you could still get like an Alexander Wenberg or a Daniel Sprong, 14 points in 17 games. Brandon Tanev, we mentioned in the past for category coverage. And yeah, Nick, it's pretty amazing. Like when you think about the caliber teams that Andre Burakovsky has played on in his career from his Washington days to the champion Avalanche last year, now he finally gets the prolonged top line look. And that was something we talked about in the offseason, right? Like he would get that top line usage every single night. And he's delivering with better than a point per game. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. You're bang on. Cause I'll even go back in the last year since I joined this podcast. I've had some hot takes. Some have been scorching red hot. Some have been correct. Some not so much. If you do recall in the off season, I wasn't crazy about the Seattle Kraken, what they did, Oliver Bjorkstrand, and specifically Andre Burakovsky, or as I like to call him, Andre Skorokovsky. But I think you're so right. You have to give some guys their flowers. Sometimes Burakovsky's in an excellent story in Seattle in general. I think when we look and move past this quarter mark, they've been exceptional in the way they've played. And I think they're going to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. But from a fantasy perspective, I've been really, really impressed. Meantime, James, the Buffalo Sabres, Dylan Boogie Cousins, of course, DeMarcus Cousins in the NBA. So I like to call him Boogie Cousins. 14 points in the last 11 games. And you guys know how I feel about contract years, James.
Contract year is shaping up to be a very, very good one for Dylan Cousins. 3 straight multi-point games, 3 assists over the weekend against the Sharks, 6 shots on goal. I mean, it's a coming out party that I don't think a lot of people were expecting. When you look at what he had done his previous couple of seasons, right? The COVID shortened season in 2020, 2021, 13 points in 41 games. Last year, 38 points in 79 games. Okay, that was, you know, some solid numbers. But this season, I mean, 24 points in 25 games is completely out of nowhere. And I don't think anybody expected a season like this from Cousins. When you look at everybody else that they have in that lineup right now, they have the Buffalo Sabres, 3 players averaging more than a point per game so far. And then you have Cousins and Alex Tuch both at 24 points in 25 games right now. That is an absolutely loaded top six, and I don't think that's something anybody was expecting us to say about the Buffalo Sabres at this point in the season, but absolutely, you got to be jumping on Dylan Cousins right now. I did in one of my leagues over the weekend, and now I have back-to-back three-point games from him.
Very nice. And for keeper league purposes, it doesn't get much better than the upside that that line is showcasing, right, Nick, with Jack Quinn, JJ Paterka, and Dylan Cousins. I mean, we were talking about a lot of other Sabres in our keeper league rankings coming into the season, maybe eighth or ninth on the pecking order in terms of their skater group was Dylan Cousins. But it just reminds you how deep the prospect pool is for Buffalo. And it's almost one of those things where even if they miss the playoffs this year, that line trio could stick together for many, many years to come and be a separate entity from Tage Thompson, Jeff Skinner, and Alex Tuch. That's a scary top six for the years to come in Buffalo.
I definitely agree. And I think that's the one we're looking for this year from Buffalo was progress, Pete. And I think to that point as well with Cousins, which I really, really like, is the fact that he's on the first power play unit and centering it because they got Tage Thompson on the point. So you love to see it from that perspective. And I think we're looking for that team to take that next step eventually, but obviously they have to shore some things up defensively, right, Pete?
Oh, for sure. I mean, they got to get a goaltender. Maybe it's UPL. He's been getting some reps. You like to see him playing. I know Comrie's what banged up and Craig Anderson get some time, but really I want to see a lot of those guys that were out in Rochester last year starring, even Quinn and Paterka. They're playing together now with Cousins. Like I said, they played together on the same line last year for Rochester that had a nice little playoff run. So that continuity growing from within, we were preaching it all off season. They were one of the only teams with an upward trajectory that didn't go outside and sign some free agents that didn't make sense in the long term. They probably did it the right way. Now they have the foundation, James, and then maybe in the years to come, they can sign a goaltender or trade for an extra forward to put them over the top here.
Yeah, and I think there might be a goaltender out there on a less competitive team if the Sabres are still in it later in the season and they feel like they need to make that move. I think outside of Dylan Cousins, the most surprising thing about the Sabres so far is just how lackluster Owen Power has really looked. I think a lot of people expected him to really take a step forward this season, especially with Rasmus Dahlin playing as consistently as he has, taking some of the pressure off of the rest of that defensive core. And I just haven't seen it. So it's going to be an interesting thing to monitor over the rest of the season, whether or not Owen Power can really, start to take that step forward that I think everybody had expected he would.
Speaking of steps forward, Cole Perfetti and the Winnipeg Jets have been a marvelation. By the way, Rick Bonus was very hard on his team for winning on Sunday. I don't know if you caught the comments, was not pleased about the start once again, but Perfetti's riding shotgun right now with Scheifele and Wheeler, a 5-game point streak, 1 goal, 6 assists, 7 points. Has he arrived, James?
Absolutely. I love this lineup. I love what they're doing up there right now. And Perfetti, I think a lot of people expected him to be a lot more of a scorer than a passer right now, but I think that he's just starting to settle into that line. Obviously, Wheeler, we know what kind of production he's put up in his career. Scheifele as well. Scheifele is really more the shooter on that line. The thing with Perfetti when it comes to the shooting is just he's, so inconsistent, right? He had one shot on goal, then 4, 3, 6, 0, and then he put up 2 in his last game where he had 1 assist. So, with him, it's just more about having the confidence to start pulling the trigger a little bit more. And I think once he does, you're going to see those goals start to pile up. But definitely, you got to be jumping on Perfetti right now, not only because of who he's playing with, but also because in Yahoo, he's tri-eligible as center, left wing, right wing, one of the only handful of guys in fantasy that has that right now. And so just to have that eligibility and have that lineup flexibility on top of him playing with the top skaters that he is on a really good team. So I would definitely be jumping on Perfetti at the moment.
I got to say, these teams we're discussing today, they're topping my Christmas list with some of the jerseys they've been rolling out. The black and red Sabres and the reverse retro Winnipeg Jets. Pretty amazing, in my opinion. But yeah, I think that like with Perfetti, if you look at the Calder Trophy watch, we've been talking all about Logan Thompson and Matty Beniers, but the race is not finished yet. It's a 2-horse race right now. still room for another guy or two to pop in. And I think the ceiling of Cole Perfetti is one that really excites me. I thought maybe, like you said, James, I thought maybe this guy could be a 25, 30 goal scorer in the offseason. And I still think the floodgates could open up for him playing with line mates of that caliber, especially look great. Nick, Blake Wheeler has been an assist machine. It's only a matter of time before it comes around to his end of the ice for Perfetti.
Yeah, not to mention like Nikolai Ehlers has played all or has only played two games so far this season, right? Like eventually at some point in the second half, they're going to get him back and he's going to provide just another threat for this team. Connor Hellebuck's been a great story. I think Josh Morrissey has to be the quietest story in the NHL right now, what he's putting together. Of course, we talked about him last week, but moving on the waiver wire list, Seth Jarvis obviously had a really, really strong rookie season. Remarkable Stanley Cup playoff showing. Had a so-so, I would say, you know, slow start by his standards October, but he's really starting to find his way a bit. A five-game point streak where he's got two goals here, James.
Yeah, Jarvis is one of those cases where, you know, you buy in and then he slows down and then you get rid of him and he picks right back up. He's just one of those inconsistently frustrating players when you consider who he's skating with down in Carolina. But you have to, especially with the schedule that they have coming up in their next four games. Anaheim is an easy landing spot. They play the Islanders. That one's going to be tough on the 10th. But then they play Detroit, who's been very inconsistent lately. And then they have Seattle. So, you know, when you're looking at the upcoming schedule for some of these teams, you have to try and pinpoint, do they have more soft landing spots coming up than difficult games? And right now, in their next four, I would say that that's three softer landing spots and then one, you know, tough game against the Islanders with how they play defensively and obviously who they will probably have in net in that game. But I'm buying Seth Jarvis at the moment, and especially because he also gets that hits category and he brings that aspect of the game. But he's also been shooting a lot on this point streak. You know, he's got about 13, 15 shots on goal so far in his last five games. So, you know, the hits, the shots, and his exposure to the top line with Sebastian Aho combined with their upcoming schedule, I'd take a flyer on him.
I wanted to ask you guys about the Carolina Hurricanes. I think they've been a little hot and cold, but we expect big things from this group. When Pacioretty eventually comes back, I know Teuvo Teravainen just came back and he's on a separate line from Nietzsche's and Aho and, you know, the guy we were just talking about, Jarvis. I mean, I think like, how do you think the lines are going to shape up with once Pacioretty comes back? And how does it affect players like Teuvo Teravainen and Seth Jarvis? I mean, I was talking about it with Anna the other day. I would love to see them maybe shift Nietzsche's to center. I know he used to play center earlier in his career. I know his production, he's leading the team in scoring. But to make room for not only Teravainen and Jarvis and Pacioretty, you're going to have to shift somebody somewhere. Otherwise, someone's going to be playing on a third line. Right, Nick?
I actually think Carolina might go all in this season. Why not, right? I think the field is wide open. You look at Colorado, won their Stanley Cup last year. So what I'm intimating, how about Bo Horvat? I don't know if Jesperi Kotkaniemi is working as a 2C there. And I think Carolina should be active on the trade market. If it's not him, I'd love to see them land somebody like Patrick Kane. I think if you just add somebody in your top nine or whatever, it doesn't have to be, you know, position preferred. And then getting Pacioretty back, as you mentioned, to answer your question, I think Carolina in general has always been a team that spread the wealth. I tend to stay away from them just because they have so much depth. Like they really, really remind me of the St. Louis Blues, James, from a couple years back, where the fourth line could score, the third line could do their thing. But ultimately, from a fantasy perspective, it sort of hurts the fantasy value sometimes of these players.
Well, it was like the Barry Trotz Islanders too, right? I mean, yeah. Every line could go out there and score it at any time, but you know, they were scoring two or three goals a game and it was spreading the wealth and it was, you know, frustratingly inconsistent when you were talking about some of their top guys. You know, outside of Aho and Svechnikov so far this season and Natchez, you know, we really haven't seen that consistent scoring throughout the lineup. And it's gonna be very, very interesting to see, you know, what happens. I agree with Pete. I would kind of like to see them maybe shift Natchez down to, you know, like the second line center behind Aho, or, you know, maybe even a guy like, you know, Jarvis. It's going to be a very, very interesting conundrum to see when Pacioretty comes back. And who knows, they may, because of how long he's been off, start him in their bottom six, maybe on the third line. And in the line, you know, the lineup may be rolling so much at that point that they don't want to mess with the chemistry at the top six. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens. But Nick is right. This has always been a team that's, you know, not really had as much depth and kind of just relied on their top guys. And that's all you're going to get from them.
Yeah, that's my takeaway from Carolina in the Stanley Cup playoffs, just to tie a bow in this conversation about the Canes, is they can't score that big goal, right? So why not add more offense and more offense? And I just don't know if they have enough depth up the middle. You want Jordan Staal ideally as your 3C, but I still think there's room to add and to add a bona fide and big time name. So I'm very curious about them. Let's look now at the goaltending situation. Obviously, some marquee injuries in the past week. Thatcher Demko, Darcy Kuemper with the Washington Capitals. So you have Spencer Martin and Charlie Lindgren on your list. Who of the two would you prefer right now, James?
It's got to be Spencer Martin. And I know that you guys had touched on him on the pod last week when you had Anna on as well. But when you look at the situation between the two of them, I trust Spencer Martin significantly more than I trust Adam Driver's doppelganger. oh, wait, no, that's Nick. I'm sorry. but I have to go with Spencer Martin right now. I mean, he's the one who's consistently getting playing time even before the injury to Thatcher Demko. He had been playing really well. He had been chipping into, you know, that playing time more at the moment. And you just look at the team in front of him, and I just trust the pedigree there more than I do with Charlie Lindgren. And, you know, yes, he's got some tricky matchups coming up, but he also has a couple of soft landing spots. He plays Montreal tonight. Then he goes to San Jose. Minnesota hasn't been great. So, you know, that could be a win. And then obviously a couple of tougher matchups in about a week and a half against Calgary and Winnipeg. But right now for his next three, Montreal, San Jose, and Minnesota, I'm going to take that. I'm going to ride Spencer Martin in those matchups, and I'm going to see, you know, what I can get out of him. He's starting in my DFS lineup tonight, you know, and just, you know, go from there. But especially if you're a Thatcher Demko owner and you're going to lose him for a minimum of the next 6 weeks, Spencer Martin's only 31% rostered at the moment. So you have to be jumping out there and getting him, because he is going to be the bona fide starter until Demko comes back. And even then, it could be a timeshare with how Demko was playing before the injury.
It's tough for me when you're tasked with this and you look at two guys that you're not super confident in. I'd almost rather just take a flyer on like Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen for the Sabres and try to ride the hot hand there. There's also, how do you say his name? Akira Schmid,
yeah.
I think, for the New Jersey Devils. He's 5-0 as the backup to Vitek Vanacek. And the Devils, it feels like they have one blip and then they go on another winning streak. So that's a team that you want to try to tap in however you can. And James, one last question for me. I know we were talking about the waiver wire list, and we're always a little reluctant to put some third liners on it, but in the others to consider, a couple of interesting ones. Want to hear who you like the most. Anthony Cirelli just came back from injury, had two apples the other day for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Fabian Zetterlund keeps chipping in on the Devils' third line. And then Jonathan Berggren for the Detroit Red Wings, especially after that injury to Tyler Bertuzzi. Who do you like most out of Cirelli, Zetterlund, or Berggren?
I would say I probably would lean Cirelli, just because when you look at Tampa Bay, they always seem to try and find a way to give him a significantly bigger role than anybody anticipates that he's going to get. And I think here as well, you could see that. He has been the 2C there in the past. And I think if Nick Paul starts to drop off, Cirelli has had good chemistry in the past with Steven Stamkos. So, you know, you could see a little bit of shift in the lineup there should Paul's production drop on that second line. But Cirelli's one of those guys who, you know, he always is just creating opportunities wherever he is in the lineup. I would say, you know, there's streaming options, all three of them. And really they're more like watch guys. But if I was looking for just a matchup dependent guy who I would want to, you know, throw in my lineup for a game or two right now, I would definitely always lean Anthony Cirelli, just because of the talent that's around him more so than the other guys.
As per usual, excellent stuff, James. Appreciate this.
Always, guys. And Nick, congrats.
So, Pete, again, the injury bug has played a factor in this fantasy season, specifically in the last 7 days. We referenced the goaltending situations. Internally, it's Charlie Lindgren, Spencer Martin with Vancouver and Washington, respectively. Some other guys I would look at, you mentioned Akira Schmid, Pyotr Kochetkov, Antti Raanta with Carolina. And how about Dan Vladar with the Calgary Flames? Jacob Markstrom is really, really struggling. Vladar has started 4 of the last 6 games for the Flames.
Vladar was good for them last year, and I saw someone was asking one of the Instagram questions, is Vladar putting the pressure on Markstrom? I still think Markstrom, by season's end, with his shutout volume and wins, and when the Flames do turn it around based on their strong shots on goal for and against metrics, I think that Markstrom will be just fine. But you could look back at multiple points in different, you know, stages of Markstrom's career with the Canucks, with the Flames in the playoffs last year when he got rolled by the Oilers, right? There have been some shaky moments in this guy's career. So maybe the stage is set for them to it's tough when you give a guy a big contract, right, Nick? But I mean, Vladar has been knocking at the door for over a year now with efficient production, regardless of his workload.
Yeah, those reverse retros, really, really nice, number one. Number two, I think you're right. Like, it's hard to forget that, you know, Jacob Markstrom was a Vezina candidate last season, right? He had a dreadful Stanley Cup playoffs, then he's comboed that up with a almost dreadful first half of the season, and I think the pressure is being put on. Some winger injuries. Tyler Bertuzzi, you referenced earlier on. And how about Colorado and the infirmary building up right there? It's not quite Washington level, but Artturi Lehkonen goes down. Lehkonen, Landeskog, Nichushkin, Byram, Helm, McDermott, Manson, Kaut, and Rodriguez. Like, it's pretty scary. And the next thing you know, I look, and I guess it's going to be Andrew Cogliano or somebody like that playing with Nathan MacKinnon here.
I mean, total skeleton crew in their top 6 right now. John Luke Foodie, Andrew Cogliano, JT Compher, Logan O'Connor, new hooks on the third line. They brought in Alex Galchenyuk. They even had to go to those lengths just to fill out their roster right now. Yeah. It's unfortunate, man. You don't like to see this happen to anyone, especially the defending champs, but they do still have the star power. Luckily, other than Landeskog, not really many injuries to their elite players. I saw Nichushkin was skating. A lot of people have him stashed on IR. So maybe this would be a good time to, you know, buy on him and try to get him onto your roster before he comes back, because he was, wasn't he like top 5 in the whole league in fantasy production prior to his injury? So don't forget about how good Nichushkin was prior to getting injured. And then, in general, I think that strategy of stashing players right now, Nick, is a really important one, whether you're talking about Pacioretty or Nichushkin. Mm-hmm. One person was asking, you know, should I stash Evander Kane? Should I stash Pacioretty? Should I stash Nikolai Ehlers? The guy had all 3 of those guys and had to choose 2. It was a tough one to me, but I lean towards the category coverage of guys like Pacioretty and Kane.
I like that. Some other wingers to look at: Cole Perfetti, Michael Bunting, Jared McCann, Alex Killorn, Seth Jarvis. I'll throw a little sprinkle. You're talking IR stashes. Little birdie tells me Anthony Duclair could be closing in on a return, because the Panthers could be active on the trade market in the next couple weeks, trying to pawn off another contract. And it's not going to be Bobrovsky's. Another question we're getting here via Instagram, it could be a Bob Bender burner account, but probably not. Victor Hedman, 1 point in the last 12 games. He is still on PP2. Pete, I am a Hedman owner. What do I do with Victor Hedman?
I mean, everything in your fantasy hockey career and mine has told you to be patient with a player like Victor Hedman. But during Sergachev breakout season, Sergachev, I think last I checked, has 11 power play points or something on the season, which is not what you're used to seeing. Usually he's just sitting back and is their second or third defenseman, but he's gone full fledged so far this season. So it's exciting to see Sergachev reach his potential. I would still hang on to Victor Hedman. He's going to go on a scoring run at some point, even if he's on power play too. It's good to see Cirelli back. They have scoring depth once again. So I think Victor Hedman will be just fine. But man, has he been one of the biggest disappointments in all of fantasy. And it's been because of his lineup usage and just another guy stepping up to the plate and delivering so far.
Yeah, and that's what Tampa does, right? Like, it's always next man up, next guy up. And it gives a guy, the wear and tear is taken away a bit from a guy like Hedman. But I think you're right in that assessment. In fact, I think it's a really, really good buy low opportunity, maybe the best opportunity since Hedman, excuse me, was a youngster in this league to be able to buy low at the value right now. Because as you mentioned, like this guy, for the most part, was a top 2-3 round pick, and he has played nowhere close to that. But I think at some point in time, excuse me, he's going to get to that level where he gets, you know, back to that PP1 utilization and he gets sort of his duties back, right?
Yeah, he is. And again, you're not going to be dropping a Hedman if you sell low. It's unfortunate, but some people need to do so. If you trade Hedman and you're looking to pick somebody up on defense, the two guys on James's list, Sean Durzi, who has 5 straight games with a power play point. That's tough to do for anyone in the league, even if you're a forward, let alone he's doing it on the second power play unit. So take notice of what Sean Durzi has done. And then Kalen Addison is third pair, but first power play. And he's up to 10 power play points as a rookie. So he's not in the Calder race like we might've anticipated, or we're trying to project in a best case scenario, but he's still covering one of the most important categories in fantasy. So those guys, Durzi and Addison, Nick, I think are really attractive options on the fantasy waiver wire.
Especially when we talked about Chris Letang going down, you're looking for that replacement option. Those two are some really, really good names. And Addison just reminds me a lot of a young Ryan Ellis, man. Like he does nothing 5-on-5, 10 of his 14 points are via the power play. But when you have the attachment, the exposure to Kirill Kaprizov and how hot he's been lately, I think you have to give him his props. As we wrap here too, speaking of props, let's give a shout out to Jason Robertson and Mitch Marner and their point streaks. They're going head to head, Pete, on Tuesday night. It's going to be Dallas hosting the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, that is insane. Those are as good of point streaks as we've seen in the NHL in a decade plus. So, yeah. And they're both happening at the same time. They're both going toe to toe. Hopefully they both keep it going. And it's with Robertson. I think the Hart Trophy conversation is certainly real. So it's been fun to watch him take in an even further step in his career so far.
I got a call to wrap up the show. Monday night, the Vegas Golden Knights into Boston. I love my revenge. Bruce Cassidy, they're calling Jack Eichel as we speak right now a game time decision. I don't buy it. He's a mass boy. He's playing. And I think Vegas wins in Boston to add in the 14-game home winning streak for the Boston Bruins. Is that a gutsy call or what?
It is, but I like it. I think with Eichel potentially out, we'll see. Petrangelo's been out for personal reasons. I hope everything's okay there, but he's not going to be playing Monday, unfortunately. But the Bruins got to give a shout-out to what's due. I know the Avs are banged up, but they wrecked them the other day. And home ice, they've been unbeatable so far. So until somebody actually does it, I'm rolling with the Boston Bruins. But thanks again to Waiver Wire James for hopping on. For James and Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, we'll talk to you next time on Thursday. NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by our good friends over at Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Talk to you next time.